Yo, it's your boy Anthony O'Neill, and you're listening to the baddest couple, I believe, on the planet. You're listening to the Black, Married, and Debt-Free podcast.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And we would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black, Married, and Debt-Free podcast. Shira, how are you doing on this Sunday evening?
I'm doing okay, but I will say that this time change has really messed me up. Like, yeah. I'm not sure if the time is changing in every state, but yes, here in California, the time moved up an hour,
yeah,
and it just really has thrown me off. But hopefully by tomorrow, I will be back on track.
Now, Shira, I need somebody to help me out with this. Didn't we vote to not do this? No more daylight savings time, no more crap like that. Somebody tell me. I thought we said we weren't gonna do this no more. Shira, what you got over there?
Well, I think it was a state vote.
Okay, state of California.
Actually don't know, but okay, in a very quick search, you know, it looks like we do it to save energy and to make better use of daylight. So I guess it's better for like businesses in the spring and summer months. They can stay open longer. There's more daylight.
But you stay open as long as the time says you can stay. Like, light doesn't determine, doesn't affect. And I think this is because I work graves.
It does, Marcus.
No, but I honestly think this is for me because I work graveyards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, night, I can do what I need to do at night. I can do what I need to do when the sun's up, when the sun's not up. It don't really affect me like it does normal people. You know
okay
what I mean?
Okay, well, normal people, we're a little bit more motivated to leave the house.
Okay, all right.
But yes, so hopefully everyone is out there doing okay.
Yes.
Might be a little groggy with an hour less sleep, but we're going to get through it.
Yes, we will get through this together. But you know, we're definitely going to talk about something that shook the news waves to close last week. And that was the closing of the Silicon Valley Bank. It made headlines. It made big news. We're going to talk about that. But before we do, we need to pause for station identification. And we would like to invite you to leave us a 5-star review for the Black, Married, and Debt-Free podcast on any platform you're listening to us on. Go ahead and leave us a review. Let us know that you enjoy this podcast. Preferably 5 stars, and we want to thank you in advance. Shire, we're going to get into this. Do you want to do a little Silicon Valley history lesson first, and then we're going to get into the news of this bank collapse?
Yeah, I think that would be good.
Okay.
Now, we don't live in Silicon Valley, but it's yes, not that far from us.
No.
I mean, you would say, what, an hour?
About an hour.
An hour and a half, yeah, maybe?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so just Silicon Valley in general has, I mean, this area means a lot,
yes,
to the world, but it really has impacted and shaped California in yeah, a lot of ways, particularly the housing market, mm-hmm, you know, just because in Silicon Valley, of course, that's where a lot of the tech industries are.
Yes.
And with tech came super high salaries and an increased cost of living, particularly in Silicon Valley and the Bay Area.
Yes.
And on a day-to-day level, what that ended up looking like was regular folks, ordinary people,
mm-hmm,
really struggling to afford housing.
Yes.
And that it also
being
meant
priced
that
out.
Yeah, a lot mm-hmm of people were priced out. Homelessness
yes
has risen, and we can't and of course we're not saying Silicon Valley is to blame for that, but they have played a role in that,
right?
And just the cost of housing
yes
has risen dramatically in our state, and that they play a Silicon Valley, that area and that tech space played
a
role
part
in that as well. Because we had a lot of people moving from mm-hmm that area who could no longer afford it, and then they would move to other areas, and then surrounding areas, and so then that would cause property to, you know, the property
prices value
to increase
to
as
increase,
well.
Yeah.
But anywho, but Silicon Valley, this hub,
yes,
and let's just, I guess, get some more background on Silicon Valley in general.
Because I always wonder, like, why did they call it Silicon Valley or whatever? But this name for this area was coined by an entrepreneur in the 70s named Ralph Verst. And he called it Silicon Valley because Silicon Valley had a lot of chip manufacturers in this central area. And they manufactured silicon wafers, which is a really important part of microchips that go in all high level electronic devices, TVs, computers, cell phones, cameras. Like, this chip needed everybody who was getting in the electronics space that was really booming in the 70s and 80s needed these chips. And people said, well, let's just move our entire business to this area where all the chip makers are. Thus, tech companies moving to Silicon Valley. They set up shop near the chips so they can have easy access to them, right? So their business could flourish and boom. And we saw businesses like Apple, Hewlett Packard, Facebook, all these, Adobe, all these businesses boomed because of their their proximity. There we go. Their sheer proximity to the silicon chip manufacturers.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how we got there. And that all happened in the 70s and 80s. And of course, it just got lit in the 90s and 2000s.
Right. And so since that is a place where tech is happening, mm-hmm. a lot of innovation is happening,
yes.
then of course, there has to be someone or some entity bank.
Where are we going
to
keep this money?
That, you know, is there and that's prominent. And that turned out to be the Silicon Valley Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally didn't know about Silicon Valley Bank.
I had
Bank.
No clue.
I mean, but it definitely makes sense. So,
now, Shire, before you go, you said this is the 16th largest bank in the United States?
So, yeah. So this is the nation's 16th largest bank. And its failure represents the second largest bank failure since 2008. So this is not a small little old tiny old bank.
Yeah.
They were working with
big
billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And this particular bank had a specialization.
Mm-hmm.
And their specialization was venture capitalism.
Yes.
And it was a venture capitalist entity and place where a lot of investment was happening in technology. It was really unique in that it's not like your everyday round the way
credit union
or, you know, big box bank, right. Bank of America or Wells Fargo, who caters to individuals or normal folks,
right.
You know, regular, you know, average folks. But this bank really serviced a lot of businesses, mm-hmm. tech businesses, and even folks with like high net worth and folks that invest in startups.
Yes.
And so they had 16 branches and their branches were located in California and also Massachusetts.
Okay. So okay. East Coast. All right.
They out there.
Wow. Now, sir, let's talk about what exactly went down. Like how did it collapse? Let's really unpack
right.
that.
How does a bank fail? Like, how does that even happen? You're a bank.
Yeah.
How does a bank fail? like break this down to me. How does a bank fail? And like, what really happened with this bank? So there are like three main reasons why this bank failed.
Just break it down.
And so the first one is bank run.
Mm.
And I was like, what is bank run?
Yeah.
Essentially, bank run is when everybody runs to the bank.
Get their money out.
To get their money out at a rate that's higher than the bank actually has.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm saying that like correctly.
No, that makes sense, Shire, because it's key to understand that even the place where you bank, you the listener, where me and you bank, Shire, they don't have all of their folks' money in a vault somewhere, right? So if your particular branch, let's say call it Bank A, if all of their patrons say, we want to get our money out, man, for something, we don't insert any reason, right? if we all run to get our money out, the bank will eventually have to come clean. Like, we don't have all you all's money on hand here. We're doing investments with you guys' money on the back end. We're doing different things with the money, and we can't give you all of your money. And so,
right. And that is actually very normal.
Yeah.
So a bank, in order for them to even pay you a return mm-hmm. on your money, that means that they have to be investing
yes.
or loaning out some of your, some of the money that you've deposited.
Yeah.
So that's not necessarily a red flag in general.
Right.
And so, like we were saying, a bank run or a run on the bank. So that happens when a lot of clients withdraw their money mm-hmm. Because they believe the bank may fail in the future. So yes. it's like, okay, so what caused all of these folks
the panic.
To pull out their money?
Right.
And so the amount that they pulled out was around $42 billion were pulled out of the bank
yeah.
last Thursday, okay, wow. at the end of Thursday. And they had a total of approximately $175 billion in deposits at the end of last year.
Wow.
So they have $175 billion in deposits at the end of last year, and then suddenly $42 billion was pulled.
Now,
was I saying billion?
Yes, you're okay, using billions.
Okay. So like I was saying,
what triggered it though, Shy? What made people want to, what made people skeptical? What was going on here? Didn't yes. the CEO do something to start at the top of the year or end last year?
Yes, but we wasn't even going to even go
we
there.
We wasn't going
to
go there.
That didn't have nothing to do.
Okay, okay. I was trying to get some extra tea.
Yes, yes. There's tea there. We can go there later. But okay. So what triggered it? So I think that there have been some concerns with the health of
yes,
the bank.
Yes.
And when we look at the tech space in general, what has been happening in the tech space?
Going downhill.
There
down.
Have been mass layoffs,
Facebook laying off people, Google laying off people. It's a bloodbath.
So like the health of that industry right mm-hmm. now is really impacted.
Yeah.
And the bank really struggled to have cash on hand.
Right.
Because there were a lot of these startups that they were investing in,
start pulling money out.
They needed cash because it's too expensive to borrow money.
Yes.
So they were using their cash reserves to fund some of their business.
This makes so much sense.
And so what Silicon Valley did, what a lot of banks do is they were buying like bonds. And treasuries, mm-hmm. securities.
Yes.
And so in order to have the cash on hand to pay people, they were having to sell some of their assets at a loss
yes.
to get the cash.
Yes.
And so since they were selling their assets at a loss, and folks started to realize, man, this bank really doesn't even have the money that we need on mm-hmm. hand, it started to raise a lot of red flags.
And
another red yeah. flag that was raised is recently the bank held a fundraiser.
They had a cookout, y'all. They were selling dinners out the back of the bank trying to raise some money.
They were trying to raise at least $2 billion recently.
And why did folks do that, Shy?
Because they needed cash on hand.
Bread.
And if they were able to raise the cash, they wouldn't have to sell their assets at a loss.
Yes.
And so because they were needing to because of this fundraiser,
right.
that's also a red flag,
as they say, right, Shah?
And so I think that folks who have been keeping an eye on the bank, they were seeing all of these red flags,
yeah.
and it just triggered this bank runoff
yeah.
where people started pulling their money out of the bank, and guess who's watching the whole time? The FDIC.
They watching. Federal, I don't know what they stand for, y'all. I ain't gonna lie.
No.
FDIC is an insurance, is a federally backed insurance entity that each bank pays into, right? And the FDIC insurance insures individuals. Now, this is when it's gonna get sticky, Shire. Go ahead and read that. Shire pulling up the literature. Shire, come on, read
FDIC.
That for me.
FDIC, that's the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation.
There we go. That's
so
what I was gonna say.
FDIC, they are the entity that will insure up to $250,000 worth of deposits for each individual depositor.
Yes.
So yeah, so they were keeping an eye on this, and mm-hmm. then they said we need to step in.
We need to step in
before this gets any worse. Essentially,
now, Shia, before you go further, in a normal situation at your Valley Credit Union, right? We're just going to make up a name at Valley Credit Union. If this same thing were to happen, the FDIC would step in, and because it's a local branch, right, the chances of having a large number of depositors that have more than the $250,000, it's very rare, right? Mm-hmm. At your local individual bank. I mean, that's a lot of money for one person to have, right, Shia? Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
So if the FDIC were coming in to fix that scenario, what they would do, they would literally just take the bank over, and it's the depositors wouldn't see much change. It would just be taken over by the FDIC. They would come in, they would remove the current bank structure, and they would just kind of pay folks. People could still make deposits, withdrawals, everything. And a lot of times the FDIC does that for a season until they're able to get another purchaser of the bank to come in, and boom. And then we just, you know, maybe the bank changes its name, but really nothing terrible would happen to the depositors, because as long as they had under $250,000, they would be insured for that amount.
Right.
But in this case, we had big money in the bank.
Yes.
So if the FDIC is coming in to provide insurance, but you're only able to insure a piece of my money, I got billions of dollars up in this thing. I got millions in here.
Right.
And you talking about you insuring $250,000? That's going to hurt me as the business or
exactly.
the person that has, you know, my money.
Exactly.
Invested
here. And as an example of some of the companies that banked there, we have Shopify.
I said, let's talk about it.
Sorry. Okay. We have Shopify, Pinterest.
Wait, Shia.
Huh? What?
I think is it Shopify or Shopify?
Oh, what am I saying?
Shopify.
What?
But I heard people say it like that.
You know what? I don't shop there, so I don't know.
Let me see. Keep going.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, but see, y'all know what I'm trying to say, though. You know what I'm trying to say, though.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Keep going.
Shopify.
Yeah, Shopify. There we go. Shopify.
So, no, there is not a T, okay? Okay. My mistake. You know, I have some notes here, and there's not a T here. So I don't know how I wrote it this way. But anyway, why I'm saying it this way. Okay. Pinterest.
Ooh.
ZipRecruiter.
Oh, ZipRecruiter.
Roku. Wow. And so Roku... Y'all know I got a Roku.
I love me some Roku.
Okay, I like Roku too. Yeah. So Roku had a reported $487 million in cash reserves there.
Wow.
And that equated to 26% of their cash.
Oh, okay. That's not terrible, but that sucks. Don't get me wrong. That's terrible.
But if the FDIC is only insuring $250,000 of your $487 million.
What I'm going to do with that, man?
You know, and like that's the other thing is that a lot of these companies were they were using this bank to conduct their business. So
yes,
like their payroll.
Payroll.
And things like that. And so there are a lot of people who are saying, a lot of business owners who bank there are saying, I don't know how I'm going to be able to meet the demands of my business, the cost to run business, and meet my payroll.
Right.
And so that is really sad. Another big one is Roblox. And so Roblox is like a little...
It's like a metaverse, like a mini metaverse that our kids have been in for years. We just didn't know it as parents.
Exactly. But we know now. So that was the first reason was that the bank run. The bank run, like we shared, a lot of people were concerned about the bank's health, and a lot of individual investors and companies, they started pulling their funds out.
Now, Shire, I wanted to pause real quick because I know some of us are probably thinking, well, why would a business put so much money in a bank and know that a tenth of their amount is all that is insured, right? Like, why would you do that? You know, you hear stories, if you watch any like movies, mob movies, you hear about Swiss bank accounts and people putting money in multiple accounts. And usually that's what they do. Even what you said, Roku, has 27% of their money there. Who knows where the rest of their money is? But let me paint a picture for you. I think I did this with you. You got, you know, a couple guys, they go to Stanford, which is a, or they go to MIT, a very predominant tech school where a lot of tech people go. They graduate together. And, you know, one of the guys say, I'm thinking about starting this tech company. I'm thinking about starting Roku. And then his friend says, well, I'm thinking about, you know, starting this tech business. And then the third friend says, I'm thinking about starting a bank. And the relationship piece in the Silicon Valley, I think, is huge when you're thinking about banking and you know that a company similar to yours or a friend from college that started a company similar to yours banks here, you'll start the bank there. And it brings some type of, while you know a lot of your money isn't insured, it's like, well, we're all in this together, right? You've built relationship equity. And that's why, that's what's so sad about this, because a lot of these businesses developed a good relationship with the bank, mm-hmm. you know? Who knows? They may have went to school with this guy and, you know. And so the relationship piece, I think, plays an important part. Because to me, I'm thinking, well, why would you put all your money there when you know it's not going to be insured? Well, because it feels like home. We're friends. I've known you for years.
Marcus,
and
but that's with any bank, with right? With any bank, because the FDIC cannot say, I'm going to replenish every dollar
right.
that could be lost in a bank failure. Now, they did do that, what? They did the bank bailouts.
Bank bailout, that's
but
what, yeah.
Our economy, we are not in a position to be bailing out banks right now.
No.
And I think the government even said that there's not going to be a bank bailout. The issue with this bank, because companies do put their money in banks.
Yes.
But the issue that came with this particular bank, it was that they were concentrated in a small area as far as what they were invested in.
Yes.
They're not as diversified as most commercial banks are,
yeah.
because their focus is venture capital, venture exactly. capitalism. Yeah. Is that the correct term?
Yeah, VC and tech.
And tech.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tech's not doing good. And venture capitalists, if I'm a
ain't
venture
nothing to capitalize in.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I'm a venture capitalist, it's like, hey, I have this idea. Well, it might work, but it might not.
Yes.
Sometimes it's profitable. Sometimes it's not. So that can be seen as being a risk
yeah.
in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as a lot of these businesses are making millions of dollars, that money is in a bank. But
yeah.
it's most of their money, I would think, are not in that type of bank. That's
right.
It could be seen as being over-leveraged.
Over-leveraged.
In one industry.
Right.
And it's just like how we invest day to day.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't be over-leveraged in
right.
any one asset.
Right.
And that concept applies to banks and banking as
yeah.
well.
That's a great point, Shire. That's a great point. So now what? You know
well,
what I mean?
The other reason that we actually kind of hit on these, like why did this bank fail? Another one was rising interest rates.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the rising interest rates played a role, and you can probably
explain
this better than me.
Well, bonds, what the bank invests in, the asset that they invest in were bonds, treasury bonds.
Which are usually safe.
Now, when interest, they were in, the thing what they did was they bought them while interest rates were low. So low interest rates mean they affect the bond differently. So like when interest rates went up because the Fed started increasing the interest rates, also corresponded with the time when they needed to start selling the bonds
mm-hmm.
to in order to pay folks. Well, when you're selling at a high, you buy them when the interest rates are low, then you sell them when they're high. That means you're losing money on the bonds. The bonds are worth less while interest rates are high. They're
right.
worth more when interest rates are low. So what they really probably wanted to do would be to hold them longer.
Right.
So they can get their true worth out of them. But because of the runoff, they had to start selling them. Now, like you said, they're selling them at a loss now.
Right.
We got a big problem.
And then the other reason why it crashed was because of a capital crisis. So they didn't have enough cash on hand
yeah.
to meet the demands.
Yes, yeah, Shire. And you said this also, is that this is very common for banks, right? Because by the letter of the law, they can, if you put $10 in a bank, they can technically take $9 of that As soon as you put it in and you say thank you, you walk out the door, they have the legal right to take $9 of your 10 and start working it. They can start buying things that will produce income, so that, you know, loaning out, they can loan your money out. $9 of that money they by law can use to generate more money. And so if you're not careful, you can be generating money and then, okay, but what's your in-hand cash? Well, right now it's not good. I'm waiting for my money to cook for me so I could get, you know what I mean?
Right. And it's similar to like your own personal finances.
There you go, Shire.
How I'm not going to have all of my money invested. Like, I'm going to have some emergency funds,
yes,
or I'm going to have some cash on hand.
There we go.
So it's like, even though this is like a business entity, there are some like takeaways that we can like glean from it. And, you know, when we think about our own financial health, are we diversified in the way that we're investing? Do we have an emergency fund? Do we have cash on hand?
But
another interesting fact about this was that 95% of the depositors had over $250,000. And so we talked about how the FDIC is only able to insure that amount of money. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of companies and a lot of people, a lot of people who are going to be taking a loss because of this bank failure.
Yeah.
And so I think that over time we'll be able to see like all of the consequences, but now like immediate, I know people are worried about, you know, how they're going to make their payroll. I read a story about like a black owned business who was connected with this bank, and they had a subscription service through their website, and their subscriptions service was linked, you know, to that bank, and now the bank has failed. And so now they're figuring out these different things. But for the most part, the everyday person was not banking at that bank.
Right.
And so most individuals will be okay, but if you are an employee at an impacted company, then that's, you know, something to...
Right, especially like
that's definitely a worry.
Yeah, I think you spoke about a young lady that had a company that her payroll ran through this bank.
Yes,
and so it's hard to be able to pay folks out. You know, people were like expected their money Friday, and it's like it may come Monday, and so it's still very fluid, Shire, with this bank.
Right,
like I said, a lot of times the FDIC, their goal is they don't want to prop up a bank for, you know, for weeks and months. So usually what they want to do is to get a buyer, someone to swallow the bank. So like maybe if Wells Fargo, for let's say, saw opportunity with this bank, they may buy them and just swallow them up, and now their surplus, Wells Fargo surplus of money, goes and fixes the
right
deficiency at this one, and they swallow all of their branches. But
right,
if you're not finding a good suitable buyer, the FDIC has to pretty much stay there until the situation's resolved.
Right. And the interesting thing about this bank, and if you look at any of the headlines, a lot of them will say that this bank failure happened in 48 hours. Like, this was a very swift bank failure, the perfect storm. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Like, I think at first it started off as, will they get a buyer?
Right.
But then the FDIC stepped in and was like, nope. I think the bank actually might be up for auction at this point. Wow. And I think that some people are saying that this bank failure might actually be good for larger banks, because now companies are going to probably think twice before investing in a bank that is structured in the way this particular bank was, with it being concentrated in just one area. And maybe they'll go to a kind of like a big box bank, one of those banks that I don't want to say too large to fail, but you know, a bank that's been around maybe for longer, has more assets, more diversification.
One of the nine that were bailed out in 08, right? Because you know, the United States ain't going nowhere. If they bail them out once, there's a big chance they'll bail them out again. No, but yeah, I think it just goes to show that, like, y'all, if y'all didn't think we was in a recession before, if you didn't think the economy was going through some trauma before, this is proof, man. the 16th largest bank has failed, and this is the second largest bank failure since 2008.
Yes.
And so anytime you start comparing things that happened in 08, 09, you already know what it is. Uh-oh. You know, so.
Yeah. And so some people think, were saying, well, is this just an isolated event, or do you think that there will be other bank failures? Mm. So what do you think?
I think I'm praying this was an isolated incident because of the over leverage in the type of, you know, I guess people that bank there. Hopefully that played a part. Like, hey, most of your people that were in this bank were in an industry that's hemorrhaging. So maybe that's why the bank failed too. So I'm hoping that that's all that was. So I want to talk about this because I'm sitting over here worried, and I heard about this. FDIC covers 250,000 of bank
individual deposits
at a bank for investments. There is something similar. The SIPC, which is a private federal mandated nonprofit organization. So they cover brokerage houses, right? Up to, your limit to 500,000 per account. SPIC is the investment equivalent.
SIPC.
Thank you, Shire. My dyslexia. SIPC, which is the brokerage equivalent to the FDIC on the bank side. So like, yeah. It's scary, and I appreciate that the United States government does these things because they don't want another depression. During the depression, everybody was trying to take their money, and the banks just was like, we ain't got it, you know. So this is something that they've put in place since then, but hopefully this is a one-off, Shire. What you think?
I think it's also a one-off, mm-hmm. And I think you're right. Like, when you start talking about the depression, I think the history of banking is just a really interesting topic.
Yeah.
And I know that we were even talking about like the first black bank,
mm-hmm.
and like why it failed.
Yeah.
And because they didn't have that FDIC protection, yep. The government would not extend that to mm-hmm. it, and how people were, I think even Frederick Douglass was involved in this bank and yes. putting up his own
pouring money
and, you know, the bank still failed. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there's definitely a lot to know. There's a wealth of history. There's a lot to learn.
Yes.
And even like this one that you just brought up, the SIPC, mm-hmm. the Securities Investor Principal Protection Act of 1970, like it is important for us to know
yeah.
where we're storing our money, what protections exist for our money, what protections exist for our investments. And it's just a reminder that, you know, we have to continue to stay knowledgeable.
Yes. Absolutely, Shire. Well, we're definitely going to be keeping an eye on this and see how it affects the market, see how it affects the economy at large, because it's definitely going to affect it. We couldn't turn on the internet without seeing this Friday, so I'm glad we talked about this, Shire. Thank you for doing your research on it. You know what I mean? We had a little powwow, and we talked about it for a couple hours yesterday. All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we're going to holler at y'all on the next one. Peace.
Bye.